Hey, what's up, Cub fans? Welcome to episode 79 of Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Ryan Davis of The Sporting News, The Athletic, CubsInsider.com, and Bet Chicago. And I'm coming to you with this episode celebrating 3 out of 4 over the weekend since I last recorded. That's good news. The Cubs have been actually scoring some runs the last few days. They've gotten some decent pitching. We'll have a few topics to talk about after I run down what happened the last few days. We'll talk about Mike Montgomery's start and where that goes for him. We'll talk about Anthony Rizzo's slide. That's been the big topic since yesterday. And we'll talk a little bit about the bullpen and how they've been burned out a little bit. And then finally, we'll run down the NL Central like we do in the final segment. So first, I have to apologize. I've got a little bit of a cold going on, so I'm a little stuffed up. Apologies if you're struggling to hear me a little bit. I'm getting through it. I'm doing the best that I can. Yesterday, the Cubs beat the Pirates 7-0. That finished off 3 out of 4 after they were taking 2 out of 3 with the Giants at Wrigley over the weekend. So following their two-game sweep against the Indians, where they scored only one run, the Cubs have averaged 6.2 runs per game over the last four, and that's not with their usual, you know, score 14 a couple times and then like get shut out a few times. It's actually been the Cubs scoring within like a really good range where they're actually scoring. I think the fewest runs they scored was 4. So that's really good. That's a very positive sign to see that the Cubs are getting consistent runs on the board every day for at least a few days in a row. Kyle Hendricks shut down the Giants in a 6-2 win on Friday, followed by a tight 5-4 loss on Saturday with Jose Quintana on the mound. Tyler Chatwood had another ugly game on Sunday, walking 5 batters and allowing 6 hits in 2 2/3 innings. The Cubs fell behind early 3-0 in that game, but then they wound up holding the Giants with the bullpen and winning 8-3. Following that up, the Cubs went to Pittsburgh and played an afternoon game on Memorial Day and got an outstanding spot start out of Mike Montgomery. The Cubs won the game 7-0 after breaking the game open late, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in general in the second segment. As of now, the Cubs will play Pittsburgh again today. That'll be a 6:05 start Central Time featuring John Lester against rookie right-hander Nick Kingham, who has a 3.44 ERA in 3 career starts. Lester has been outstanding for the Cubs this year. He's been their best pitcher overall to this point. He has a 2.37 ERA in 57 innings pitched. Tonight's game will be broadcast on WGN. All right, let's go ahead and go to our second segment where we'll talk about the Rizzo slide and we'll talk about the fifth starter spot and we'll get into the bullpen a little bit. Okay, I don't want to spend too long on this topic, and I did want to spread the second segment out over a couple different topics for this reason, but the Rizzo slide, what he did was perfectly legal. And for that fact, many would call it a smart baseball play. Even if it wasn't the best thing to do, people would point to it and say, if it's legal and he did it and helped him score some runs, then it's the right thing to do. This was unique because the rule applied at home plate there is actually that second base rule about sliding. It's not the Buster Posey rule, which I think a lot of outside observers, when they saw it real quick on, you know, highlights, were like, you know, oh, it's the Buster Posey rule. No, it wasn't, because Rizzo wasn't trying to score. He was already out. He was simply trying to break up the double play. And the Pirates catcher, Diaz, he got the out at home plate. He took 2 steps forward to throw down to first base. When Rizzo slid, he went out of the baseline to take out Diaz's legs and stayed within an area where he could still touch home plate. So by the rule, he was correct. That said, I think it was a dirty slide. Catchers aren't expecting that kind of play like infielders are, and the play was blind to the catcher. So when a second baseman has a runner go into his legs on a double play at second, he's expecting it, number one, because that happens all the time. That's something they practice for. He has it right in front of him too, so he can see it as it's happening. He's not getting taken out blindly from the side. So this is a rare circumstance, and catchers aren't really, I don't think they train to deal with having their legs taken out trying to throw down to first base. From that standpoint, Diaz is extremely lucky he didn't get hurt. Now, I think it's clear in the past, from my standpoint, I've been very open and honest about how I feel about this. I think hitting batters with baseballs is a dumb tradition that needs to die. I can't think of any scenario where I would want my pitcher to intentionally hit someone else with a fastball. Unwritten rules be damned. That said, Rizzo should be expecting one tonight, and I completely understand why the Pirates are going to do it. They have every right to be upset about what happened. They're very lucky that their catcher isn't injured, and if you would disagree with how I feel on that, that's fine. But stop to think about how you would react if a base runner went out of the baseline to take out Wilson Contreras's legs on a throw down to first base. You might tell yourself hearing that that you'd be fine with it, or maybe that you'd understand that it's a baseball play, and then you'd be pretty pissed off about it. It's a dirty slide, pretty clearly. If you want to do an experiment to test your own biases, go ask just about any non-Cubs fan that you know what they thought of Rizzo's slide. At the same time, I think it's important that we explain it how it is. There have been a lot of fans, Pirates fans, going over the edge, saying that this defines Rizzo's character. Yeah, I don't think that's true. I think this is a play a lot of baseball players would have made, and it's not about their character. It's about winning and knowing that it's a legal slide and trying to get those runs on the board. It's much like, in his mind, it's much like breaking up a double play at second base. He even went back in his next plate appearance to kind of check on the catcher, kind of tell him, hey, I didn't mean to hurt you, that kind of thing. So this isn't a reflection of Rizzo as a person. This isn't, just because he had a dirty slide doesn't make him a dirty player. And I feel like too many people are rushing to one extreme on that end of it. And there's really a lot in the middle here. Yes, the play was dirty, but Rizzo's not a bad guy because of it. And I feel like that's an important distinction to make. So moving on, let's talk a little bit about Tyler Chatwood and Yu Darvish. So the Darvish triceps problem is somewhat concerning, but I'm still way more concerned about Tyler Chatwood because I feel like Darvish is going to heal and come back from this. And at that point, maybe get kind of a fresh start with this season and start back over and see if he can build up some momentum, because really that's been his problem, is he can't string together a few starts without having a minor problem get in the way. With Chatwood, this is a serious issue that carries over every start, and it seems to be getting worse. He doesn't know where his pitches are going. It's gotten to the point where he just throws it up there, and he's lucky he's not beating guys in the head. I've seen Wilson Contreras call for, pitch over the middle of the plate on the outside corner, and Chatwood nearly beans a guy in the head. I mean, that's missing your spot by 3 or 4 feet. I think that really the fix here might be a DL stint and a rehab assignment down to AAA to kind of work on some of those issues. Now, that's not 100% just for Chatwood, because I feel like he could probably work on some of the same things in Iowa as he could work on in Chicago. It's more for the Cubs, who can't afford to keep falling behind and burning through their bullpen. We'll talk a little bit more about the bullpen in a second. But so assuming Darvish is able to return shortly from the DL, I'd leave Mike Montgomery in the rotation for Chatwood. He earned it in that start against the Pirates, going 5 2/3 innings. He allowed just 2 hits and no walks. He had a no-hitter, I think, going into the 5th inning, or a perfect game, I guess. Monty has been making the case to be a starter for a while now, and yesterday, when given the chance, put his money where his mouth is. Now, take player salaries out of the equation here. What is the case right now for Tyler Chatwood to remain in the rotation blocking Mike Montgomery? The only thing I could think of is that Monty is better as a reliever, but that's kind of crappy to do to him. And to that point, he's also better as a starter at this point. So that's the more important role. I feel like at this point, Montgomery has to stay in the rotation at least one more game and either way, I would probably find a way to make sure Tyler Chatwood doesn't make his next start. Now, if Darvish needs a stay on the DL more than 10 days, I would expect that Montgomery would get that start. And then maybe the Cubs find a way to get either Adbert Alzolay or Dwayne Underwood to the big leagues. Alzolay has been hit pretty hard over his last four games. He's allowed 35 hits in 18 and two-thirds innings with an 8.20 ERA. This is also the Cubs' top prospect, so there's that also in his corner. If the Cubs feel like he's ready despite getting hit hard in a few games in a row at AAA, I don't think that would stop them from calling him up. That said, Underwood has been better. And over his last five games, he's tossed 32 innings, allowing 23 hits, 8 walks, striking out 22 batters, and has a 2.53 ERA. So this is a kid who isn't the prospect that Alzolay is, but was at one point a top 100 prospect before having two kind of down seasons. But he's also only 23 years old, which is the same as Alzolay. And he has very good stuff and was at one point projected to be a middle to maybe top, like back end top of the rotation kind of starter, like a number two, number three, number four, that kind of middle rotation guy. So there's a chance that Underwood still could be that guy, and that's a little bit exciting. So I think there's a decent chance that one of these guys will be making their major league debut in June. Last thing I wanted to talk about in this segment is the bullpen. Last season, Carl Edwards was the only Cubs reliever to appear in 70 or more games. He pitched 73 times for the Cubs last year. For this year, Edwards, Cishek, Dunsing, Strope, and Wilson are all on pace to pitch in 70 or more games. For Dunsing, Edwards, and Cishek, that would be on pace for career highs in both appearances and innings pitched as a reliever. The Cubs have the third best ERA among bullpens in baseball, and it's a big reason why they're on pace for around 90 wins this year right now, despite the issues with the rotation and their offensive inconsistency. But make no mistake, if they keep burning through the bullpen at this rate, it's not going to hold up in the second half and in the postseason should they make it there. An example I should give. In 2016, only one Cubs pitcher made it to 70 appearances, and that was Travis Wood at 77, but he also only tossed 61 innings. Only one other Cub made it to 60 or more appearances, and that was Justin Grimm at 68. He had just over 52 innings. Trevor Cahill led the team out of the bullpen last year with 65 and two-thirds innings pitched. And this year, they will have five pitchers. They currently have five pitchers on pace to top that number. Final segment. This is just our typical around the NL Central. We know what the Cubs and Pirates did yesterday, but the Brewers played the Cardinals and took the first of the series against St. Louis, winning 8-3 behind Brent Suter. Luke Weaver took the loss for the Cards, and he even allowed a two-run RBI double to the opposing pitcher. The Cardinals bullpen did what it usually does as well, which is allowing extra runs. They were tagged for four runs in four innings. The Reds got beaten by the Arizona Diamondbacks 12-5, thanks to an awful start by Homer Bailey. He allowed eight runs, six of them earned in four innings. So the updated standings in the NL Central are as follows. The Brewers have the best record in the National League at 35-20, and now they have a 4.5 game lead in the NL Central. The Cubs are alone in second place at 4.5 back, 28-22, and on pace for around 91 wins this year. The Cardinals are 28-23, which puts them five games back and in third place. The Pirates are 28-25, six out of first place, and 2-8 in their last 10. The Reds are now 16 games back at 19-36. Thanks for listening, guys. I appreciate you hanging with me, even though I have a little bit of a cold. The Cubs are in Pittsburgh for the next 2 days. Hopefully they can, you know, maybe make this a sweep and put the Pirates a little bit further behind them in the division. It would be nice if this could get narrowed down to just the Cubs, the Brewers, and the Cardinals and get the Pirates and Reds kind of buried. I know the Pirates are hanging in there and they've been a lot better than everyone has expected this year, but really for the Cubs and their advantage, going into the rest of the season, it makes it a lot more simple if you can narrow it down to just three teams battling for first place in the division. I think the Brewers are a good team. I don't think they're as good as they've been playing lately. I think there is some regression due for that team, but I do think that this is a team that could win 90 games this year. So the Cubs are going to have to start pushing things and getting to that 95 win pace so that they can really catch the Brewers and then maybe start to distance themselves a little bit. But we saw what happened last year when the Cubs had to really turn it on hard in the second half and push themselves to win that division, and what happened in the postseason when they kind of tired out against the Dodgers. This isn't what you want. The NL is kind of weak this year. There's a lot of teams kind of in the middle, and the Cubs have another opportunity to make a push for a World Series, but it needs to start now. They need to start stringing together wins and not rely on starting, you know, after the All-Star break in July and just taking off from there. So that's what we're looking at right now. Hopefully the Cubs can start working on a winning streak and putting together you know, like an 8 out of 10 or a 15 out of 17 kind of streak. Thanks again for listening, guys. I will talk to you again tomorrow.